Yeah, I might use it to see. Good evening. I'm a little nervous. I'm leaving. My wife's staying, and Mark don't have his wife here.
I'll take care of everything.
I tell you, I made a trip with Steve and Mark to Texas. I think that's about the only time I've been to Texas that way, and we had a great time. And I think I got Jerry Lockhart that weekend. I do appreciate being here, and I'm sorry, Dan. Sorry, he rescheduled. He could have took me off. It would have been fine. I've got to be back for two classes on Sunday, and it just happened that my son-in-law had tickets to the Penn State game, so. You got to be back. I mean, you know, whatever. Kathy and I went last week, and they had 101,000 people there. That was a big old crowd. I thought, I looked around, I said, I wonder how many saved in here. I do too. It was I tell them when I go up to Cleveland that I have to take the Lord with me. About the Basin Dixon. Whatever. I'm just kidding. If you will turn your Bible to 2 Timothy. I have enjoyed every conference I've ever been here, and I've yet to eat a donut. I hold the record here. I have not ever eaten a donut. And Steve has tried to force them, send them home, and do everything else, but I still haven't eaten one. So, that's nothing. It don't mean nothing. But anyway, there's a lot of new faces in here that I don't know, and I'm glad that you're here, and I'm sure Brother Steve is. It's a fine crowd on a Friday night, and it's a blessing to see people who come and open their Bible up and study. And there's a lot of old faces here that I've known for years, and some of them I forgot your name sometimes. I apologize. I've got old-timer's disease. Believe it or not, when I started, me and Steve were pretty young. Jerry Lockhart was even young. And Barbara was really young. Do you miss the Bible camp and all that? It seems strange on July not to go to Bible camp, but it seems strange to miss Brother Moore. But we're glad that Mrs. Moore's here.
Amen, sir.
Very much so. So I guess I'm ready. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk about considering what Paul says tonight. Very simple, about the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said to the young pastor, young evangelist Timothy, and a lot of times we kind of take Timothy out of context. This is written as a pastoral epistle. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are written to Timothy, quite obvious in verse 2 of chapter 1. And he talks about himself, Paul, and Timothy in the ministry. And so he tells Timothy in verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He's not talking about revelation. He's not talking about other things. He's talking about what I say. That's what he said. I'm not going to take the verse and make it say anything else. It says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And one of the major problems in the world today, especially in the radio and TV, is they're not considering what Paul says about the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And it got nothing to do with you walking an aisle and asking Jesus in your heart to turn from your sins and doing good works. It has to do with the power of God is the gospel of Christ, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, and the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Most people do not put any emphasis on the gospel. They'll say gospel all the time. Well, good news, there's a lot of good news in the Bible, there's a lot of bad news, but the good news to us in this room is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, and in that was according to the Scripture. So it's not something that Paul made up. It's according to the Scripture, folks. And in God, in His Scripture, said, my Son died for your sins. When He was buried, He raised again the third day, and then Paul explains in those three terms what it meant in his letters. So let's consider some things. Turn to Acts 13, and let's see what this man preached openly. And in Acts 13, Luke wrote Acts. But there's a key word like in verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hands, what's the next word?
Said.
So this is going to be what Paul said. Okay, consider what I say. What he said. Men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. He's going to begin to give some things about Israel. And he goes through this thing. Look at verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of, and the next word, this salvation sent. So there's a salvation from God that's sent, and this man is declaring it. He's going to declare it. That'll be his ministry from the time he's saved and the time he's taken out, however the Lord takes him out. And of course, we know that he's taken out in death. But it's not death like lost people are in. It's in the death of the sleep of Christ. Sleep in Christ is in Thessalonians. In this issue here, though, he says, and I ain't got time to read it, what, about 20 minutes there? I can't see the clock. Okay. Look with me in verse 38. Be it known unto you, is Paul speaking? Yes. Therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from how many things? From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The issue here to an Israelite is they put stock in their law, their table, their sacrifices, their sacrificial table and everything else. They are standing listening to this man tell them that you're justified from all things, not some things, all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now you know this is new. This got to be new. Man, this is hitting him in the face. And in doing so, they are looking at him. And of course, a lot of the Jewish people there, the Israelite people, get mad and leave. But there are other people that don't. But now watch in verse 40. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you. Brother Moore preached a message years ago about the man in the gap. And the gap is quite obvious in the Scriptures in accordance with the fact there are biblical prophecies of everything, even to Messiah being cut off. That's prophesied, folks. And that's not a mystery that he's going to die. The mystery is what God could do with that cross. That cross is a murder indictment to Israel. They have denied their Messiah. We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. And they did. But the Lord prayed for them. And Acts 2 is the answer to that prayer. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I was talking to people the other day. There's another man that prayed for somebody. It's Acts 7. Stephen prayed for people. Father, lay not this sin to their charge. So they get their message again preached to them. Only this time the message is not the kingdom, but the second coming. And they've got to identify themselves with the belief that this man truly is the Son of God because he raised from the dead. And that's Romans chapter 1, what Paul believed, that he didn't believe as Saul at first. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's the foundation of the apostles and prophets, folks. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you don't believe that, you better believe that right now. There is no use of preaching to you the cross of Christ if you don't, in the first place, believe he's the Son of God.
And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if he be not raised, then you're in your sins. That if you believe he is raised, you're not in your sins. What could you confess? Folks, you can't confess your sin if you're not in them. That's quite obvious. If Jesus, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Father, raised from the dead? Okay? How many of you hunted Easter eggs when you was a boy? You're supposed to be doing that acclaim because that morning he's supposed to have already raised, right? Well, if he's raised from the dead, what are you not in according to 1 Corinthians 15? There's an opposite to the verse. He said, if he ain't raised, you're still in your sins. What's the opposite? If he is raised and you raise your hand, you know what you're not in? Could you walk out trusting that? Or did you walk the aisle and one day you walked up to a preacher that told you to come on up and give your life to Christ and turn from your sins? Good luck! Stop turning from your sins and see which one the new one will show up on you. People can't quit sinning. How do you plan on quit sinning? You're no good. You're unrighteous. And you don't even understand God. Think of a blessing from God. He gives you understanding. He gave us an inspired Bible, a King James Bible, and will give us the Spirit of the Lord to give us the mind of Christ that we can read, and some fool preacher can stand up in front of us that everybody says is a fool and give you wisdom and knowledge if they follow the man in the gap. It's Paul. Paul has understanding, folks, and there's, it says the books he writes, they just progress in understanding as you read them. And you get to that book of Colossians. All my life, I believe you had to quit everything. And I didn't, so I figured I was enemy and wicked. And it's easy to get somebody to walk the aisle, you know, because everybody in here has done something wrong. Oh, my God. A vision just hit me. Somebody in here sinned today. Please don't stand up, though. Boom, everybody comes up. I get no vision. I read some visions. This man Paul had some visions that are glorious. And as he progressively wrote them, he told Timothy, consider what I say. And if you do, he'll give you understanding in all things that I said. You know, some of the things Paul write are hard to understand if you try to apply Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to them, ain't they? And the brother Peter, some of the things he writes are a little hard to understand. You know, the Lord told us we're going to have to die and be killed, and he really never said anything about coming and catching us up in the clouds like he taught. Why? But boy, Paul writes something in Thessalonians. That's pretty cool, ain't it? We which are alive and remain should be caught up. Wow. That don't sound right, Paul. Yeah, that's right. It's from the Lord. Okay, Paul. I'll take your word for it because you're of the Lord too. Now, I doubt he had said that about Saul early on, would you? Took Barnabas to deliver him up to Jerusalem to meet with the brothers because they're afraid of him. I've been afraid of Paul if I was a Jew. I believe in Jew. Saul would put you in jail. Might even not even made the journey. He might have died. He wouldn't have cared. He didn't care when Stephen got stoned, did he? People say, he was just there for the clothing. You didn't read chapter 8, verse 1. Consenting unto his death. And what's amazing is that Stephen, down on his knees, looked up and said, Father, lay this sin not to their charge. You know what? I bet a brother saw a brother Israelite sin a sin not unto death. Might have checked that out, 1 John 5. Or 4. 5, no, 5. Now watch with me. In Acts 13, 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it's necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you,
But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, I wonder what Paul's message is offering in verse 46. What does that verse say? They judged themselves unworthy of what? Then the message he's offering is what? Everlasting life. Okay? That's kind of hard in Hebrews.
Amen.
Hebrews 6. Don't see everlasting life there. You don't see seal there either. How many of you went to religion in your early life and didn't know you were sealed? How many of you are glad you are? Brother Paul says so. Somebody said, well, Paul didn't know he was. Well, he didn't see 2 Corinthians 1:22. Said he was. How's it feel to be able to walk out and get amongst the idiot drivers or get on an airplane? I heard a guy say one time, he said, you know, I can get on an airplane, it might not be my time, but what if it's the guy next to me? I was on an airplane going from Atlanta to Montgomery one night. I was on a crop duster. I thought I was in trouble when they gave out those little helmets, those little leather helmets and goggles. I was sitting by a lady, and I was sitting right to the wing of the low wing with a prop, jet props. And when they idle, they wobble. And it's the nose cone on there, if it ain't, you know, I mean, they wobble. They look like a wobbling. And I looked out, I was sitting on the window, I said, look at that. And she said, what? That thing gonna fly off of here. And she looked at me, she said, what? I said, look at that thing wobble. When he gasses that thing, he's gonna be, and it might just come through here. She looked at me, she said, what? I said, are you saved? And she said, I sure hope so. I said, well, you don't have to hope so. Maybe so. You can be secure. And I got a full hour of witnessing. Of course, hours up and down. It's not even an hour. But when we got off there, she said, I thank you for that. You were lying to me about the prop, though, weren't you? And I said, yeah. Yeah. Maybe all those. All right. Look at me in verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. And this is not an exact quote of Isaiah 49:6. The word of is not in Isaiah 46. And you can check it out. We may check it out in just a minute. That thou shouldest be for salvation the ends of the earth. He didn't change it. He was inspired to put it there because his ministry is no longer just to the Jews. It's not just the Jews at all. It's to the world. And his reconciliation message in 2 Corinthians, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You're not having your trespasses imputed to you. Don't you understand that? And the key to it is that if you're sitting in here and you think that God may get you, he should have already got you. That's not the issue. It's, can I trust God to have already forgiven me? Can I believe that God, who never really liked me in the Old Testament, he would have killed me in the Old Testament. I probably wouldn't have liked a Jew. I was an enemy. But a day in my life, I was born in 1950.
Well, that's old,
man. I used to have brown hair, too. That back row, next back row is where I got gray. And Steve running off my wife.
1950, and I lived my life, and I did a lot of things I ought not do.
And as I've told you many times, I have tasted, touched, and handled. I am not a quitter. I don't mean anything bad by that. That's the only thing I ain't tried and I ain't about to. I like women.
But I indulged in that life, and God
should have had no use for me whatsoever. But instead, His Son loved me and gave Himself for me willingly that God would forgive me. And one night, Fairhope, Alabama, the Lord preached on "How Shall I Pardon Thee?" And as I drove the van home, I tried to bargain my way into heaven, and God didn't let me come. And I finally realized, you can't go to heaven unless God brings you. And I saw that He forgave me for Christ's sake. I sat under a minister for many years, folks. Then Brother Moore, when I was 15 years old, began to work for Brother Moore. And I didn't get it. I heard about, I believe it was Nolan Butler's mom getting saved all these years. Folks, it don't matter how many years you've been studying.
Amen.
You may just be the biggest liar there is. You may be sitting in there right now lying to everybody that you're saved. And I'm at a Bible conference. Look at me. I'm worth it. You ain't worth it. It's the grace of God you're breathing air.
Amen.
You got no right to be here. God made a right for you. Folks, He could have set the kingdom up. We'd have been out of time. There's no way to find out time without Paul. 2,000 years, unexplainable time. Prophesied time, up to this. Prophesied time over here. In between, there's a gap. Man with a gap, here he is. This man says, you're already forgiven. This man says, the grace of God says, you can have it if you want. My Son has died for your sins. He's buried, and I raised Him, and I forgave you, and I'm satisfied. Can you accept what I say? So God don't lie.
Amen. That's right.
Well, let's look at something. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Just real quick. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Turn with me. 1 Timothy. The right of this gospel to this man comes through this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief." You have to underline that ignorantly. That is not Matthew 12. Verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, and is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save Israel." That is not what it says. To save who? How many is that in this room? Then why did He come in the world? Through Paul's message. How long did He live? 33 years.
Then somewhere in that 33 years, 33 and a half, with the death, burial, and resurrection included,
who did He save? What does that verse say? What did He come in the world for? Save sinners, right? Chapter 2, verse 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Who's our Savior? God. Psalm chapter 3, verse 8. "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord." He knows how to save you, folks. What, are you kidding me? So I say, "Lord,
I'm a sinner."
Reckon God knew that?
"Lord, I've done wrong."
Can God do that? Somebody said, "You got to be in the right frame of mind to get saved." No, you don't. I know somebody here said he was in the toilet or something one time. I was in a van driving with a bunch of men in there. If they didn't know what I was thinking about, they didn't want me to stop and get out. There is 25 miles that I can't account of. There's 25 miles of that autograph that I can't account of driving. And there I was driving. Romo sitting in front, probably hitting on that, he'd have stopped. I can't account for the miles. And then afterwards, I was so happy, I probably wasn't thinking about the miles. And when I got home, I sure didn't want to tell nobody because I was embarrassed, man. It's embarrassing to tell somebody you sit in Bible classes. It's embarrassing to sit there and think all that I ever have done was of no value if I was lost in the first place. I worked 2 years for Brother Moore lost. That means all them 2 years ain't no good. It was the working it together for the good. When I went to work, Brother Moore from Mount Home, Arkansas, where we live, I thought I was going down there to work for the Lord. God was getting me down there to get saved. But when I say saved, I want to say the words. There's three words that hardly ever you get asked on the street or in the debate booth. Are you saved? Now, we can make that a question, but with you, it ain't going to be a question. Because if you say, yes, I am, it's not a question. Are you with me, folks? This is a question. This is a statement. Yes, I am. Well, how'd you get saved? Well, I walked out. I asked Jesus in my heart. I turned from my sin. Well, have you sinned lately? Well, I try not to. Hey, do you confess your sin? Oh, absolutely. I said, well, I'm confused. If you turn from your sins and you're confessing your sins, aren't you just kind of doing that just for fun or something? Don't you ever read Isaiah chapter 1, what iniquity is? They were offering up sacrifices every week. God did not tell them to offer up sacrifices in a religious service. It had a purpose. When they had sinned, they went and offered up a sacrifice for it. And he said, you're killing the blood of innocent animals, and it's a stitch in my nostrils. He said, you go and call your meetings, your solemn meetings. And he said, oh, this is iniquity to me. I cannot away with it. God did not call them to do that. And a person that told to do things, you can't do things to get saved. Are you saved? Yes, I am. God saved me. Did I miss you? God saved me.
Amen.
I trust it.
Amen.
You can't hear the good news of your salvation unless He saved you. You trust God to have saved you.
Amen.
And when you do, then that salvation is put to your account.
Amen.
And He gives you something wonderful. He gives you the Spirit of His dear Son. And that Spirit of the dear Son never leads you under the law. It never leads you to confess. It never leads you to do anything because it gives you a mind of understanding and an inspired word as you read it. And Paul, in his writings and what he says, begins to open the door to you of a liberty you never knew before. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, for who was before a blasphemer, persecuted, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Verse 16, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. The pattern to them that should hereafter is because when the letter's written, he's in prison. And he wrote it in prison, and hereafter they look at Paul. Now, you see, Paul was Saul, and he's walking on the road to Damascus, you know. He had a letter in his pocket. It's a deadly letter. And this ain't a letter that he's going to have a revival.
This is not aware that he's going to have a Bible conference in Hickson Pike. This is a letter that says, if I find anybody that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm going to get them and take them back and have them either jailed or killed. Boom! Light hits him, down he goes. Blind as a bat. Lord, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Lord, what do you have me do? He said, to be told. And this man became a vessel of God that will open your eyes. His message. Turn to Acts 26. I want to ask you something on this. What are you saved from?
Death.
Of course. I've buried several friends lately. I had the opportunity and the blessedness to preach their funerals. And in the last funeral I preached, not one person shook my hand. Lost, oh my God. And I preached to them what that man believed. And read them the verses. Just one right out, just read them. And they would not even shake my hand. Went to the cemetery to finish up the job that he allowed me to do. And I told them, if you want to ever see Paul again, you're going to have to trust Christ. I said, if you don't ever trust Christ, there's going to be a day in the lake of fire that you will see him out there in the liberty of the Lord. And you will think of the day of his burial that you could have received it. It has nothing to do with me, folks. I preach the gospel. Of course they don't like me. That's fine. But they don't like the gospel either. He said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. If you ever get tired of the gospel, you got a problem.
Amen.
You got a serious problem that's already been remedied if you're trusted.
Amen.
What do you want God to do for you? You want to smell better? You want to feel better? Be able to run and jump over to Steve and jump around and holler? Get more money? You know, you give 1,000, you get 10. What they tell me anyway. I bought a lotto ticket one time. I didn't get nothing. And I think, I ain't prayed about it. I thought about it. I mean, in my office plate one night, there was a lotto ticket. $20 one night. $20? I ain't never seen a $20 lotto ticket. They just have some special drawing. Well, I didn't let me in. So next week I brought it down. I said, can I get a refund? One night I had a IOU in there. I said, sorry, I need some. Took it out. I guess I needed it. Saw one guy making change in there. Had a nickel in there one time. I accused the one guy of making change with a nickel. Hey, folks. There's a day in your life that somebody can preach to you Acts 26, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and show you some things. Look at Acts 26, look at verse 16, and this is the account that Luke writes about Paul. And again, you come up with the word he said in verse 15. Now verse 16, rise, stand upon thy feet, for the Lord said this, I am Jesus, so we know that Jesus says this. And verse 18, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear to thee. So there's not all the revelation given to him right then in Acts, boom, 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 it comes in progression. Now verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles on whom now I send thee. That's got to be a little bit different down the time because
He doesn't have to be delivered right now. Ain't nobody mad at him. Except the Gentiles. But Jesus ain't mad at him. He's doing a good work. He's getting people to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They're not mad at him over that. But watch. This is the key, 18. He said to open what? You ever been lost? I got lost one time when I was a boy. It scared me to death. I had 5 squirrels on my stick, 2 hunting dogs, and lost as a goose. I said, you know, I may not get my way out of this place. I was way back in the woods in the Ozark Mountains. My dogs didn't care. They was having fun. They knew where home was, but they just wasn't going to go. So I sat down on the ground. I was young. And I said, maybe I can hear something. And I sat down. It was raining. Looked like rats. And I kept listening. And finally, I heard a car way over on dirt road. So I began to walk that way. And I gave myself something to give me an indication I was going in the right direction. It's cloudy. I couldn't see the sun or anything. And bless your soul, I come to a dirt road. Uh-oh, which way? I came to a road in the middle of the road, which way to go? Somebody invited you here tonight, probably. Or you just came. And you could be lying. I'm not a mind reader. Thank God. You may be sitting in here, and you're in the middle of the road. And you're fixing to get a weekend of it. And it don't matter when you get it this weekend. But you better take the right route. And that route is you're going to have to trust somebody else to lead you. My dogs knew the way home. They turned. All of my dogs. Bunch of dogs in here. Do you know that? We got a bunch of dog creatures in here. In verse 18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. You know what you've been walking in? You've been walking in darkness. When I was a boy, I used to go in caves all the time, and now I have claustrophobia. I had a dream the other night. Oh, that sounded bad. Where I live, I had a dream. And it was claustrophobic dream. And I come straight out of the bed. You got to understand, folks, I've been in some holes. They used to tie a rope around my feet and draw me down into a sinkhole to see where it'd go. I've been in squares no bigger than this where I'd have to work one shoulder and one head and then work my way in. And when I got in there, I had to turn a 90 degree at right angles and wiggle to get back out. And it didn't bother me a bit. I used to go in my mother and dad's house and wrap pipes and the hole was just about that big. Work myself in there. I've been in caves stuck. And they'd grab a hold of my feet and work me out and pull me out. That kills me now. For some reason, it just changed in life. Because I'm old, I guess. Got more sense, I guess. Not sure. But I want you to think about them miners in this, the Chilean miners. They're probably not going to get out till December. And they're in a room where you really ain't a whole lot to do. How would you feel like if you come to a point in your life when you can't save yourself? You can't work it out? You can't get over it? You can't get no peace about it. You just can't get it right. God fixed it. He made it right for you to set you free from this body someday. You know, I believe that saved people are claustrophobic inside. Or in Romans chapter 8. We groan within ourselves. Trying to be loose from this miserable thing. Oh Lord, I want to do good for you. Why am I doing bad?
Oh my God, I didn't mean to do that. Yes, I did, Lord, I'm lying. I'll never do that again, Lord. I'll never get drunk again. I've been drunk 34 years. Some of the classes I got, I may start drinking. My kids used to blame me for everything. I said, there's two things you can't blame me for. You ain't never seen me or Kathy ever drunk. You ain't never seen us fight. So don't you lay that stuff on me. But it's like, I won't do this again, Lord. And then you're doing it again. And there's such great conflict there because the flesh is so ornery and is so vile that it wants everything its way. And I thank God that God don't see me that way.
Amen.
My God sees me saved.
Amen.
And He sees me as His child, helpless, and gives me the right to rejoice always. Now there's a point in your life when you get saved, and there's a point out there either you're going out alive and being changed and having that vile body changed, or you're going to sleep in the Lord and be with the Lord. You know what? Between here and there, you have the right to rejoice always. Does that mean it's going to be hunky-dory and everything just going to be cool? No. As you suffer, you learn what the book of Philippians is telling you about. Chapter 4. You learn what it's like. But you know, while you're walking that away, you're in this vessel. There ain't no way in God's name that we can go. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That the excellency might be in Him and not in us. Why, what kind of fool would stand up in front of you and tell you, I haven't sinned. And you need to be saved. Saved from what? I thank God, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with this, the law of sin. Those laws don't change, folks.
Amen.
And the only relief you're ever going to get is when you get out of this body.
Amen.
Some of us are getting closer. You know what's amazing? You younger folks in here, this might be your night. And I guarantee you this one thing. Somebody in here will be the first to die tonight. Maybe a week, might be a year, might be 3 years. But somebody here will be the first that we'll hear, hey, did you hear so-and-so? Did you hear Brother Jerry passed on? Did you hear Brother Jerry? Other Jerry passed on. Did you hear that Brother Steve left? Well, where'd they go?
Well, they say, they said they was. They believed they was. They were the Lord.
I know Steve got to be saved. He buys a Sea-Doo. Brother Jerry got to be saved. He's in Texas. After Alabama got done with him. Oh, that's sorry. Folks, can you leave here tonight and say, wow, when I go to bed tonight, I'm saved. You know, morning, I'm saved. You know why? I can't change. Why, who saved me? God did. How did He do it? He gave us His righteousness. What was His righteousness by? It's by the faith of His Son. His Son had enough faith to go to a cross and die in misery. And then His soul went down into hell. And in hell for 3 days suffered for a wretch like me. And God says, Jerry's forgiven. Come on up. I'm forgiven, folks. Are you? God said you are. And you know who He said it through? Ephesians chapter 1. We were talking about the other night. There was a man come to Bible class one night and he said, how do I become a member of your church? I said, trust the Lord. He said, well, I'll do something. I said, well, we can circumcise you if you want to be, but it won't help. He laughed. He's like, what? I said, if you want to feel better about yourself, I mean, that's fine, whatever. But I said, you can't join our church. You can become a member of the body of Christ and have fellowship with us.
But I said, membership is by the Lord. Amen. He's the one that puts you in the household of God, not me.
Amen.
And folks, you know, people say, I don't like Brother Jerry. I know. It's okay. I don't like me sometimes either. But I'll tell you one thing. He loved his son.
Amen.
And there ain't no doubt about that. And for him to turn his back on the Lord, he had a purpose. He didn't do that for naught, folks. And if you won't trust that, he won't even be nice about it when he turns his back on you. Now watch, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He said, let's go back to verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh my goodness, we're accepted. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. One other verse, Colossians. Now, the NIV, it don't matter about Ephesians. They kind of leave that alone. But they don't like Colossians. So the NIV attacks Colossians 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Meet there is where it makes it right. In other words, it's, as I told you a long time ago about railroads, you've got to have, there's only way two trains can meet. It has to be two tracks. If they meet on one track, it's not going to be cute. Because it's a head on. But he put two tracks. The railroad said, well, for that one train to meet the other, I guess we're going to have another track. And so they meet on two tracks. And there's no wreck. There's a day when God will see the last member of the body of Christ trust. He's already seen it. That's the fullness. That's the unity of the faith of Ephesians chapter 4. We're in the unity of the Spirit right now, trying to endeavor so we can get to that last. Oh, are you the last one here? Anybody? Are you my husband here? So we know to get it. Maybe you're the last. I don't know. I bet Steve would be glad there's the last one in here. Because God let him watch Penn State up there. Folks, I'm gonna kid you. There might be the last one. You know what? It don't take any preparation to make God's will better. The last one could be in here, but bam, gone. And we all be happy. Amen. And if you're left, you will have to pay the bill and turn the light out. But you don't have to be. Don't you know that God would have every person in this Bible study saved?
Amen.
And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, what's the next little word? What does that mean? It's already done. Hath delivered us from power of darkness. Next word, and what?
Amen.
Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, to make 13 and 12 work, you're going to have the blood and the word even in verse 14. And the NIV takes it out. In whom we have redemption through his blood, comma, and the next word is not in Ephesians. But it's in Colossians 1. Now I want you to think about something. Do you believe you have redemption through his blood? What's associated with the word even? End the verse with it after even. Now what are you going to confess? How do you confess with the word even? Even the forgiveness of sins is with the redemptive power. That's how you got translated. The translation's there, folks. I mean, we're standing down here and fighting this body's fighting the spirit and all that. But what did he say? He's already translated us in the kingdom of the dear son. Of course, that would annihilate Matthew where you're down praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
I don't need to pray for the kingdom to come. I need to leave. I sure don't have to pray for bread. I believe Kathy's got a couple of loaves in the house. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't need that. I mean, that, you know, that's kind of covetous, isn't it? If you got two loaves of bread in your house, do you need to pray for bread? I don't think so, do I? Do I need to pray for bread if I have bread in the house? But if I don't have anything, as the apostles didn't, because they, yes, I believe they did sell all they had. I believe that's according to the apostle doctrine of Luke 12. They actually did sell out. Why? They were actually told to. So it would be a good idea to pray for bread. Right? What, are you going to McDonald's and say, please, I'm praying for you to give me a hamburger? Don't you have money? If you ain't, you'll be in jail. And then you can pray for bread and water. Again, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2. Colossians 2:10. We listen to what Paul says, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When was Christ circumcised? Well, I doubt when He was circumcised here was the completeness of it. I believe He was 8 days old. We're in that area. Somebody said, why did God want a baby circumcised at 8 days old? Because at 70 he bled to death. The blood coagulates at 8 days. Who made man? Who knew that? Think God knew that? Do you think God does really know the hairs on your head? Well, what are you worried about? So I said, well, what are we going to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. That we should be to the praise of His glory. We first trusted in Christ. Lord, are we going to make it through the day? Rejoice. Always. Always. To the end where God knows what He's going to do with you. Just rejoice. If you can't rejoice, then you're worrying about something.
One of the most miserable conditions in the world is being lost and knowing it.
Yeah.
I hate it when Brother Moore got on Lost Believers. I used to fake it with him. Fake it with him. Hope he wasn't looking at me. Brother Moore didn't save me. Brother Moore was a vessel that preached it to me. God Almighty saved me.
Amen.
And He used His Son to do it. And His faith, you know, Jesus Christ's faith will never be wrong. It'll never leave. It'll never be changed. And the faith of Him was enough that the translators just can't stand it. Well, you know what? Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein you also risen with Him through the faith, the operation of God, who have raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. No covenant. Nothing. Hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you what? Are you going to walk out this weekend saved, sealed, and forgiven? Or are you going to play with it and die in a car wreck and go into death and hell, be delivered up and cast into the lake of fire? This conference is not a plaything. It is for you to hear the truth. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll shut up. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Remember, Paul said in this verse that he received it. Watch. Moreover, when I declare unto you the gospel. I'm sorry, but he sounds like a southerner. Is he from southern Tarsus or northern Tarsus? I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Guess what he's fixing to do? He said, I declare unto you. Okay?
which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. You thinking about that bass boat this weekend you're missing out on? Are you thinking about that gospel? You thinking about, man, I'm going on vacation next week. I'll be glad when this weekend's over. Has it already left your mind? Have you received it and believed in vain? Are you telling people, my daughter, my middle daughter, Susie, 25 years sitting on the preaching. One Sunday morning, she came up crying. Daddy, I'm saved. She said, every Sunday we eat dinner, all the family. And she said, I hated it. Because we would sit there and discuss some Bible and every other thing. I mean, it's an uncomfortable situation sometimes. And she said, I couldn't sit there with a straight face without lying. And she said, now I want to talk. Praise God. Do you want to talk about it? Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died. Can you put yourself in our? Or are you doubting it? Are you thinking, wow, really did die for my sins? Yeah, he did. But that isn't the full gospel. He died for our sins, according to the Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture, according to Romans chapter 4. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. God took ungodly sinners and enemies, which cannot be used, ungodly sinners and enemies, and made them to where their vessel could carry the Spirit of God and tell people what Jesus Christ really did. I hope that you're saved. And if you're not, don't take a chance. This might be your last night. And if it is, it's your fault. Amen. And you know what? Eternity without the Lord is so bad to think about that all pride you ever had should not even be an issue. God wants you saved. God made a provision of salvation. He wants to give it to you. And he wants to seal you with his Spirit because you're not worth it in the first place. But his word is. Isn't it amazing how God helps us in spite of ourselves? Because he don't deny his word. I've never had anything given to me that I deserved. God did it. I have a wonderful family. I have a wonderful Bible studies. I get to go to Bible studies and people actually put an effort to come. And it's by the will of God. And he helps. He does it all. And I thank him. Let's do.